Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
On Thursday, August 1st, the Chad Duke Show will be hosting our Hall of Fame game watch party at Monk's Barbecue. The party is free to attend and will feature an in-person Money Monk at his own restaurant, plus a burger-eating contest, drink specials, the debut of the Pigskin Burger featuring no white goop, a brand-new Chad Duke Show tea will be available at the event, and this will be the first-ever candle-exclusive episode. So save the date, August 1st at Monk's Barbecue for the Hall of Fame game watch party. The best barbecue in Virginia can only be found at Monk's Barbecue in Percival, Virginia. Check them out at Monk's BBQ on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and at monksq.com. If you're interested in buying or selling a home, there's only one person you should call, and that's Joe Azer. You can reach him at 571-989-2937. That's 571-989-AZER.
What is that, Lil? 12 hands in a row? Dukes, you son of a bitch, nobody's that lucky.
Now here's your host, the Big Silly.
Chad Dukes.
Charlie Hotel.
Alpha Delta, yeah, Dukes, dig it!
There, but for the grace of God, go with me.
Where the nickel-sized hell and the damage chair wins. We rolled over New York, never let us back in. We blew out the lights, kicked the windows in. And when the law showed up, said they're gonna have to take us in. They're scared of my music.
Welcome everybody to the Free Friday episode of the Chad Duke Show. Appreciate you being here. I am your host with the most, the Shootster. We are streaming live on just YouTube. That is why the numbers are always just screwing me in the bunghole, because we don't throw it up everywhere else. So don't get disheartened, or people still love you and they still enjoy the episode. If you do want to watch live when we tape this, go on over to youtube.com/ChadDukeShow and turn on your notifications. Click subscribe. We generally tape it either Thursday afternoon or Friday morning. We are brought to you by Monk's Barbecue in Percival. I am the Shootster. There from Red Bank, New Jersey, in the parking lot of Jay and Silent Bob's secret stash is Radio's Gigantor. Hello, Gigantor. How are you, bud?
You know what? I didn't like two of those three clips that opened up the show here, but you softened me up with the third one.
And oh, yeah.
Oh, shit!
Wish you would have been there. For those that are listening on the podcast, that was Jim Jester doing a cannonball into my pool. Where he dropped the entire... You've been in my pool before. He dropped the water level by himself half an inch.
Oh, Jimmy. I can't believe you let him get up on the upper level of the pool at all. I would not have... I said, Jimmy, these tiles, not for you. They're not for me. They're not for anybody to really be launching off of, because it's not a jump when you're this size, it's a launch, and then a lot of things get destroyed underneath the back foot, the plant foot, and I'm familiar. That's how I almost broke my leg and broke the dock at my parents' lake house, was me taking a big launch step and then collapsing right through the dock.
Also, when you're a man of larger carriage and you've been floating around in the water a little bit, you tend to start believing you are more fleet of foot than you actually are.
Right.
And then when you remove yourself from the gravity-less environment and then hurl yourself off the top of a concrete embutment, yeah, shit can happen. Now, what I will say is that I don't even think I asked Jim to do that. I said, Jim, at some point, it'd be funny if you ran and jumped off the top into the and by the time I got that much out, he was already scampering up the stairs and bottoming out against the bottom of the pool. No one has ever hit the bottom of the pool and then injured themselves in the 8 years I've owned this pool. Jimmy gave himself the Tommy John fucking elbow.
Yeah.
Because he went so deep.
It was fine cannonball form, Jimmy, but for a shallow pool, you always want to go. My preferred splash jump is the jackknife, not the cannonball. Oh. I like getting my angle and my massive back to have the final big explosion. I do remember. I think maybe this is the reason why some of the French girls were not happy with our crew in Ibiza when we were sailing in the Med. I did a big jackknife on the boat, and I think I splashed a majority of the passengers.
Yeah, women not as impressed by the big splash as the dudes are. Because if you're around a group of dudes and you hit like a fucking sweet can opener or, you know, a five-star frog splash, like everyone's going to start hooting and hollering. Women don't like that.
There's no tolerance or patience for it. It's just a societal disconnect, I'd say.
The women like the abdominals to go all the way down to the pubis to the veiny V. Like if you have the veiny V at the bottom of the abdominals, that's kind of what they're into.
They're probably more impressed with a nice graceful dive down to the bottom and maybe some, the freestyles, that doesn't look good. The backstroke, I think a good breaststroke, that is probably the most sensual stroke of the swimming strokes.
Somebody please clip this for me. There's so much material being generated for next week's shows just based off of what Tor is coming the fuck out of his mouth. I'm gonna go ahead and be the first to say that no woman has ever been impressed by horsing around that dudes do in the pool. we do that for ourselves, and then we think that, like, when we're like playing chicken and we're up on each other's shoulders, like, oh yeah, like we think the girls are looking. They're not. They're like, where are the mature men
with
the Ford automobiles?
The guys that could just take a dip and then get back and lounge and then possibly read or just hang out, not the guys that are displacing all the water in the pool.
Women go to pools for very different reasons than we do. Mr. Eric Nagel watching Free Money Friday. Yeah, we're certainly not getting paid for this. Thank you, E-Rock. Good to see you, brother man. And then, oh, I guess we are. Corey Rita, $49.99 super chat. Very generous. Most likely the only super chat of the day. Happy Friday, friendos. Happy Friday to you, Corey. Appreciate your generosity. We do have a fun Free Friday episode for you planned today. I know that my guy Tor saw Lady Legs or whatever it's called. What was the I know that on last week's episode I had some sort of cockamamie bet where I guaranteed that you would not make it 3 minutes through Long Legs if you went to see it in the movie theater. So I guess I do owe you some scratch. Do you remember what the bet was, Tor?
I think it was $100 if I could survive the first 3 minutes.
God damn it.
I believe that's what it was. I can go and check the tape, though.
I got to be more responsible with my money. I didn't think you'd have the balls to buy a ticket, much less sit through the whole movie.
Well, the one thing about being up in the New Jersey, New York area that I've taken to almost role playing is the Seinfeld prognosis negative, where I can go and check out a movie with my friends in the city. Like, that is the one New York role-playing activity that I've been doing, and I was excited to be able to do it, even with a terribly scary movie like Long Legs.
Before you went to see it, did you go, prognosis negative? Because that's what you'd have to do. Or the other one is, oh man, we're missing the death blow. One of my favorite parts of Seinfeld is the fake movie shtick. Rochelle.
It's really good.
Stack Lunch was a fantastic one.
There was a, was there a Checkmate? Was that one of them? I can't remember.
Sounds right. I think somebody went through and did, like, they're all connected or something. There's like a Tarantino verse, but with the movies that are inside. And then they see real movies from time to time as well. Which is
Ponce de Leon. That was one that they saw. Blimp, the Hindenburg story.
I love that. He goes, what is it? Rochelle, dude, come in and talk to it. Does Elaine go to see Rochelle when she's leaving the fucking movie theater and they all bump into each other together? What's the movie there where they all see it and they all walk out at the same time?
I think that was Rochelle. Rochelle, number one most popular. Elaine saw Chunnel also.
The Chunnel. Yeah. I still think Death Blow is my favorite. Corey, thank you so much for the $50 super chat. Lori Wagner, would it be possible to get a Pert update? Did he make the move to New Jersey? Thank you for the $20 super chat. Well, I don't want to speak for Tor, but maybe a little bit later in the show. What do you think?
That works. Yeah.
I know that's still a hot button issue for you. I know a few things the listening audience does not. So maybe that'll fit better as we're winding things down.
I would say so.
Yeah. Remind us, Lori, and thank you certainly for the $20 super chat. I don't want to forget that. Pert, for those of you that are takers and only listen to the free episode, Pert is Tor's, is it Golden Retriever or Golden Lab? I forgot what breed
Retriever.
Retriever. That Tor regularly pisses on in the shower. Still don't understand why you think that's okay.
I do not pee on my dog in the shower. I don't. It's a quick wash, and then if he's getting washed, I might as well wash myself. It's just a good. It's kind of how I've done this with all the dogs that I've had in my life previously.
Giving the dog a shower, then you just take a shower with the dog.
Might as well, you know, if you, because you're leaning into it, because I'm trying to get the dog clean. I'm gonna brush the teeth. I'm gonna get between the paws, and I feel like, you know, I might as well clean myself up afterwards, directly afterwards, if I'm dealing with a lot of dog parts.
Where did the pissing on the dog come into play? Because I remember you telling us all
that. He pissed in the shower. He pissed in the tub when he was a puppy. And that I did not piss on the dog.
And you just wanted to play along?
No, I didn't pee in the shower, shoot. He had a pee in the shower, and that wasn't very, very good of him.
Oh, boy. I remember it differently, I swear. But I can go back and check the tape if you like. Lori, thank you. We will give you a Pert update and see if there is any more urination going on. Mr. Eric Nagel from It's Eric Nagel. Happy 10 years. $1.99 super chat. Tor was caught making out during Schindler's List. That was one of the real movies.
Yeah.
In the Seinfeld movieverse. But yeah, that was with, was he making out with Terry Hatcher from the Superman show with that? Because she was the real and their spectacular chick. But I can't remember. He made out with so many hot women from other sitcoms in that show,
just rolling in dime after dime. Maybe the best job in the world is playing Jerry on Seinfeld. Is all right, cool. I'm the laid back guy with the cool sneakers, and then every girl that I date that I have a problem with is an absolute smoke show.
I'm sure Jerry's sneakers were cool. They were never cool. He did get to make out with Ace Ventura Pet Detective era Courtney Cox, which is nothing to stick your nose up at. I know Daphne from Frasier was on there.
Courtney Cox played Jerry's wife, right? I'm Mrs. Seinfeld for the laundry, I believe.
Oh, I think so. Well, then Janine Garofalo though played the female version of Jerry Seinfeld. Remember when she kept eating cereal and Jerry got all pissed off? And then he proposed to her, and then he backs out, and George is still engaged to his fucking chick, who he kills with the glue on the envelope. I got to go back and revisit it. I usually rip through Seinfeld every other year. You know, I got through the whole thing.
It's always good to have running, because there's always any episode I think is a good episode. I'm not going to get disappointed. Maybe the first two seasons are they're not as polished yet, but there's still laughs.
There's laughs in season two. Season one is damn near unwatchable, because what you have to do in any television show is the first the producers and the executive types, they have a chokehold on season one. And then by the time it becomes successful, that's why you see Star Trek The Next Generation or Seinfeld or anything. The characters start to turn into themselves, because then the creatives get more freedom because the success is already built in.
Right.
I think that's why you see that.
A bit of a longer leash.
Go back and watch the first season of Friends. It's damn near unwatchable. And you could not make Joey Tribbiani more a stereotypical fucking Italian Lothario. He is a boobs boob with the worst haircut I've ever seen. Eric, thank you, brother. My day-to-day tour has been something else. I've been getting updates all day long about this Jimmy fiasco. And if you don't subscribe to the Chad Duke Show, I get it. I wouldn't either. But you missed a hell of a fucking week. And I'm going to try to give you a little thumbnail, a little update, because tour is caught up until, I think Thursday's episode dropped about 2 hours ago as we are recording this. I know it's the Friday episode, so people haven't even gotten the full update. I want to give the people that listen to the free show at least a chance to understand what's going on here. But let me start with this tour, if you do not mind. Big, big event coming up. 1 week from today, we will be out at Monk's Barbecue in Percival. The NFL season is upon us. I'm sure Eric Nagel's making the trip down for this. Probably not. Gonna watch the Hall of Fame game. Caleb Williams, the whole group, the Chicago Bears, the Houston Texans, very excited. Not only will we be there, it's free to get in. We're having a pigskin burger. We're doing drink specials. Monk will be live in the building. Our brand new Chad Duke Show football season tee will be available. The first ever both types of sports candle exclusive episode will be available. Tor was a part of this. It's a fun episode.
It's the first time.
It's the first time anyone's ever embedded an episode in a candle. That should be enough, Tor.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty good one.
I would say so. Ant-Man was not really Ant-Manning it up on this show. I was pretty sharp in the first 20 minutes with some accusations he made about some vacations I may have taken.
Maybe, but there's plenty of blunt moments as well, if I may, during the episode. It's a good one, though. So basically, you buy the candle, you can burn it, smells real nice. You scan the side, there's a brand new, fresh episode of both types of sports available for you. Also, brand new ponytails and cocktails tea, the only coconut pea cover band, tribute band in the entire world. And I had to wait on this one to announce it, but the second and last CD exclusive episode for 2024. Feel the Power 2 available this Thursday at Monk's Barbecue, week from yesterday, if you're listening to this on Friday. Come on out. You can get there early during happy hour if you want to stake out your claim, have yourself some supper, have a few drinks. Gonna be a hoot. And I will let you know, Gigantor, you are viciously attacked during this CD episode. Not by me, not by anybody that you might think, but as soon as Hotman Ted...
Yeah.
Got his second beer into him. You were on the top of his brain.
That's fine. Ted is that's what Ted does. He you know wants to attack someone with a lot of source material, and that's the, you know he has a good retention. He's got the lawyer's brain. He will remember details, even though he can't operate a car or operate a bike or you know do anything that normal humans can do.
He can't operate a bike.
No, he can remember things though. I'll give him that. You need a stat from the 1980 Capitals, he'll give it to you. You need him to turn a wrench? I don't think so.
He's kind of what's the Dustin Hop? What is the movie where he plays the autistic guy
and Chris
O'Donnell's fairy? Yeah, he's Rain Man like, I would say, in that way, when it comes to old baseball and old hockey. Anyway, Thursday, come on out. Love to see you. Should be a hoot. And we'll watch some foosball together. Corey Reed is $4.99 super chat. Thank you so much, bud. Took the Friday after the Hall of Fame game off so I could enjoy the festivities in full. I highly recommend it. Not that anybody goes to work anyways, but yeah, if you suffer under the delusion of holding down a 9-to-5, feel free to call in sick on Friday and tie one on Thursday night. So looking forward to that. Mike Florio has lost his fucking mind again. I want to get to long legs, but we have to start here, Tor. I've got to bring you up to date. So for those that are unfamiliar, Tor was my executive producer slash co-host. He moved on to greener pastures and is now doing his own thing up in New Jersey. His subordinate was a 46-year-old blimp-like individual. I believe I called him a jovial dunderhead, Jim Jester, who's been in radio for as long as I have, but has literally not learned one thing along the way. And he is beloved. People love him, and he's a very nice guy. But he is also a doormat for everybody in his life. And unlike everyone in his life, I bust his balls pretty harsh, but I don't take advantage of him. And I try to compensate him for his time, and I try not to abuse the fact that Jim is incapable of saying no. Is that at least a fairly accurate assessment, would you say, Tor?
Yeah, the Jimmy vortex is really deep and interesting because how could you not love Jim Jester?
You love him.
On paper, it's, family man stepping up, doing what he needs to do, everything. And then you start kind of working through the vortex, the iceberg gets deeper and deeper, and then 30 minutes later, you're anti-Jim Jester somehow, and he's affable, and he's fun, and he's kind.
But
there's some latent 1980s bully in there that is always creeping to get out. Once I saw that high school senior picture, oh, come on, man. Come on.
Am I distracting you? Did I distract you? I'm sorry.
For the audio-only listeners, Dukes threw up a rather unflattering photo of Jim Jester.
I wanted the people on YouTube to know who we were talking about in case they're unfamiliar.
If whoever took that photo of Jimmy, if I was Jimmy, their tires are not on their car anymore. that's the only recourse I have, because I can't change this in a day. But you snapping this photo of me, that means you're going to have to change all four in the next day.
Nobody that's any type of a friend of a person takes a creep photo like this. By the way, look how tiny the bottle of mustard is compared to his bodice. It's not just that, though, Tor, is that you realize that a lot of his hardships he brings on himself through his lack of a spine and some passive aggressivity. And then, of course, the terrible decision making, all the adultery and the having the children that he's incapable of taking care of. That's neither here nor there. To bring people up to speed, Jim has a father that is infirmed. He can't walk around anymore, not because he got hit by a piece of shrapnel in the NOM or he got clipped by a drunk driver. His dad was so fucking fat that he just stopped using his legs, and so his legs atrophied, and now he can't move around anymore. So, again, I feel bad, but
yeah,
there's more control over that than other people would like to admit. And so the dad asked Jim for a birthday present. He wanted to see the San Diego Padres play baseball here locally in the D.C. area. So Jim checked the schedule for the Washington Nationals and saw that they played the Padres today as we're taping this, July 25th.
Yeah.
They played at 12:30. It's roughly 7 billion degrees out. And we were doing the show, and we found out that they were playing, the Padres, that is, are playing the Baltimore Orioles the very next day.
Of course they are.
Of course they are. And Jim lives about 15 minutes from Orioles Park. He is an Orioles fan. He is not a Nationals fan. But he's so goddamn stupid and lazy that he didn't check the schedule. He just myopically zeroed in on Nationals Park, bought tickets to a noon game, did not search for a deal, Tor. Ended up paying $60 a piece for tickets not in the shade. For another couple of 20 or so, he could have gotten the Diamond Club tickets. Free food, free drink, free seats.
Yeah, midweek Diamond Club is not going for $300 a pop for Saturday when the Dodgers are coming in town. It's, you know, the Padres, middle of the pack, midweek.
They might pay you to go. And Evan from Evan and Sarah found tickets today in the Diamond Club for, I think, $85 a pop. Mm. So they're basically, by the end of it, if you have two or three beers and some prime rib, they're paying you to watch baseball, right?
Oh, yeah.
On the show, we find out that the Baltimore Orioles, who is Jim's favorite team, are playing at 7 o'clock on Friday. So not only does Jim not have to sit in the sun, not only does he get to go to Camden Yards instead of the big PetSmart, not only does his dad get to be happy and see the Padres, God knows why he wants to see the Padres, but he does. But on top of that tour, Jim's not leaving Washington, D.C. at 3:30 from the most inaccessible point in the entire metropolitan area. You've been down there by that park.
Oh, yeah.
You know what it's like trying to leave after? What is it like trying to leave that park after a game at the cusp of rush hour?
There's the only way that you can do it is to, if you're going to a game at any time in that place, the best course of action is to stay another 90 minutes and get some post-game drinks or just hang out and let the traffic subside. If not, you're just going to be in the definition of gridlock traffic.
Yeah.
And there's going to be people on their phones, hitting each other, disasters all over the place. The infrastructure around Nationals Park and driving is a nightmare, and I don't wish it on anybody.
I don't know if you can see the comments, but jump the gun old Paul Morris is not only incorrect, but he's trying to beat us to the punchline without even understanding what he's saying. So I can't wait for you to hear this, Paul. So we realize this, and we say, Jim, why don't we pass the hat around? We'll get the funds from the listeners. We'll buy you some fucking tickets for the Orioles game on Friday. And then you could see your team. Your dad can see his team. You can miss rush hour. You could be 15 minutes from your house. Your life's just a little bit better.
Yeah. It's a better decision instead of a decision. And a baseball fan or just anybody would estimate that, hey, if these teams are going cross country, they typically sync up other games in the area schedule-wise to get more away games in if you're on a different time zone.
They don't waste a trip.
So don't waste a trip. You're not constantly going back and forth with a day of rest. You want to bunch them up. That's why there will be 2 weeks of the Nats playing at 10 o'clock on Masson, And why is this? Oh, they're playing the Rockies. They're playing the Dodgers. They're playing everybody out west. And then they come back for a home stretch just in a closer area. So it's a pretty fundamental aspect of baseball scheduling. And for somebody who apparently has seen every team but the Padres, maybe they would know that. And talking about Jester's father.
I'm going to take it a step further. It's not just a baseball thing. It's an anything thing. If a band you like is coming to town and you can't make the date that they're playing at Eagle Bank Arena, you check the date before and after and say, oh, they're in Richmond the next night. I can go to that show.
Right.
It's fucking common sense. If what is the Monster Jam? If Gravedigger is coming to town, he says, shit, I can't make the one at Capital One Arena. It's up at First Mariner in Baltimore the very next night. I'm going to go up for that. It's just common sense. Anyone knows this, except if you are a mouth-breathing automaton, which I love Jim to death. I really do. He's a great person. But look at this, man. This is who we're talking about here.
No. Do you see that work?
Look at this. So,
while that evidence may not be crucial to this current case, the jury will note it.
Jim is such a great guy for doing a nice thing for your dad. Yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong. He's a terrible person. So we get the tickets for Jim for Baltimore. Jim calls his mom after the show, but he doesn't call his mom tour in the back of the studio where the couch is, where you can have some peace and quiet. His parents are old. They're hard of hearing. He calls the mom on speakerphone in front of the den of vipers that is me, Ant-Man, and everybody else that's just up there enjoying the show.
Yeah.
These are not good people. You know this. You've been around them.
It's a den of thieves.
Orgy beard, short arms. It's a terrible group, okay? It's just like these are the people that if you are getting fucked, if you're bleeding out.
Short arms is coming up in the studio now?
Short arm, he did. He was before. Short arms, here's your notice. You ain't coming up no more until you're back on your meds. You're getting the foot's not leg fucking policy. Once you, I know you're off your meds. When your wife's back and you're back on your meds, you can come back up. You've gotten two. You're back in the fucking weeds again, and I can't have it. Love you to death, but whenever you get back onto where you were last year when you were normal, get back to there, then we can come back up. Jim, Johnny Showoff, as I like to call him, Tor. That's my new name for Jim Jester. John Showoff. Pulls out his phone on speaker. Hey, Mom. Put Dad on. Can you get to Dad? Go to Dad. I got some shit I got to tell. Tells him we got the tickets to the Orioles game Friday night right behind home plate. Huh? Sit there, watch that overrated team do their overrated thing. We're going to be nice and close. Got two handicap seats. So both of their big fat asses can sit right there the entire time. It's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Mamo starts screaming at Dado. Hey, we got the tickets. You don't have to go down to D.C. We're going to Baltimore, hon. Dad has no idea what's going on. Phone's about to get hung up, and we hear Dado's speaking. Can't understand him.
Yeah.
Mamo says to Jim, oh, so your father just asked, does that mean we're going to both games? To Thursday at the Nationals Park and Friday at the Orioles Park. And everyone's head in the room turns and we all look at Jim. Because I think in some way, shape, or form, Tor, we knew, oh my God, he is about to set this whole thing on fire. It's right there for the taking. You're out. You're out of Thursday night. You don't have to drive to DC. You don't have to sit in rush hour traffic. You don't have to sit in the midday July sun weighing 420 pounds.
The finger is on the trigger of the shotgun pointed at your own foot. And somebody has said, stop, don't pull it. This is what I'm seeing right now.
We all, not just stop, don't pull it. We all fucking threw in. Ant-Man ordered the tickets. I sent all the funds to Ant-Man. It's done. We've transferred the tickets over to Jim's phone. All he's got to do is say, no, we're not going Thursday. We're going Friday. But because he has absolutely no ability to say no to his parents or anyone for that matter, he says, well, if that's what you want to do, we'll go to both games. keep in mind, the reason why everybody was Venmoing over to the show is because they thought they were helping Jim out of a fucking jam.
Out of a disaster, nightmarishly hot day game. To get out of that, let's set you up. Let's upgrade you.
And Tori, it wasn't let's buy Jim some more baseball tickets. It was let's buy him the tickets he can't afford so he can destroy the ones that are going to ruin his life and have himself a nice night. Like, we're trying to do something nice for him. And now it's just turned into extra innings. Free baseball. So a full day goes by of us all just living in shock that we just watched him do this. We do the show yesterday. And Jim, at some point, called his parents and lied, but I don't blame him, and said there was a misunderstanding.
There was a misunderstanding.
We don't have both pairs of tickets. We have one pair for Baltimore. Okay?
Yeah. It's so, Baltimore now.
Yes. Despite Jim fucking this whole thing up, despite our best intentions, he does figure out a way to drag his ass back out of the fire. So we were all happy about that, right? Until today, when this popped up. If you don't mind, Tor, please read the headline of the story that I just put up on the screen for the people listening on iTunes.
Padres' Dylan Cease throws no-hitter against Nationals.
Dylan Cease threw a no-hitter Thursday against the Nationals, becoming the second pitcher in Padres history to achieve the feat. Cease completed the no-hitter on C.J. Abrams, who lined out to right field. The hard-throwing right-hander walked three, struck out nine on a season-high 114 pitches. The only other Padres pitcher to record a no-hitter is Joe Musgrove, who shut down the Rangers on April 9th, 2021. Cease allowed only three base runners on Thursday. Oh, God. So, to circle all the way back, Paul Morris. His dad got to see the Padres throw a no-hitter. No, he didn't.
That's cosmic. I don't know what you even said. I don't.
How is that not? Do you know what divine intervention is, Tor? How could that not be divine intervention?
It's just, it's got to be some cosmic get back. It has to be. Like, we cannot be on this plane just by ourselves. Everybody individually raw dogging it. Something is pulling the strings, because irony like this doesn't grow on trees. It just doesn't.
So Jim has tickets to a game. His dad is a Padres fan. We talk him out of it. We get him to take tickets to the game he cares about. By the way, better baseball game. Orioles are a better team. I'd say most people believe that's a better baseball experience too.
Yeah.
Gannon Yards. He is going to both. We convince him that that's not a good idea to go to one. The one that he misses is the one with Padres, whose dad, he bought the tickets for his dad, and his dad's pitcher throws the fucking no-hitter, and he misses it.
Oh, that's that is just a frickin' oh.
Holy shit, Corey's being mean. Even God himself is sick of Jimmy not sticking up for himself. I don't know how you could, look, man, go back and watch Pulp Fiction. It's not about whether God changes Coke to Pepsi, helps me find my fucking car keys. It's about I felt the touch of God. And if you are a Chad Duke Show fan and you've been listening to the last week of shows and you see that this is the ultimate outcome, I don't know how you can't feel the touch of God. Towards an unbelievable culmination of a series of events. One that nobody could have predicted.
Jimmy's just Charlie Brown, just walking around Charlie Brown all day.
Charlie Brown is a good person that's being taken advantage of by Lucy, that's C-word. I'm not going to make my case here. I love Jim. I would do anything to help Jim, but Jim's not a good dude.
Yeah, he dances on that line pretty hard.
He's got the eye of the tiger dancing through fire, Tor. I'll tell you that much. Holy shit. When I saw that, do you know how many people sent me that fucking score? Do you have any people sent me that box score?
I was getting updates all day. I'm like, oh, Cease was no hitter in the sixth. This is interesting. Come on, Nashville. I'm just sitting here. Come on, Nats. Show some life.
Sure.
I didn't get an update on whether it actually happened or not. Now it's just. I mean, Jimmy is. Did he go to work today? Is he just sitting at his job?
You say work. I hope you're throwing up air quotes. I really do. I was not getting updates for the score of the Nationals. People were just sending me that because everyone was laughing a goddamn riot that poor Jimmy missed the no-hitter.
That is just, it's tragic, but I don't feel bad for Jimmy. For some reason, I just don't. And this, I don't feel bad for Jimmy. He left a bad taste in my mouth on the Wednesday show when he was talking about his family reunion that he went to.
The Jester family reunion.
The Jester family reunion. Props to the Jesters. You want to get everybody together no matter what the status is.
Let's Did you hear what my idea was for next year's Jester family reunion? I won't say it here on the free show.
I don't particularly agree with it. And I could actually hear people like tensing up.
Everyone is so upset. Oh my God.
Maybe we should just do some interviews.
Maybe they should. Let's go ahead and cancel him again. I mean, when Ant-Man says, that's a bit much, Dukes. I knew maybe I'd overstep though. I thought we were just going to maybe interview a couple of Jimmy's relatives.
But Jimmy's demeanor, but family reunions, and you had a great point about it. Family reunions, if you are a person that can do it, that can be an all-star, that can be someone that livens up the party and talk and reconnect with families, do it.
Do it.
That, you're not going to see him for another year. Most likely, you're not going to see him for another 2 years. Hey, it's hard to get 80 people together every year. So be an all-star. Be fun. Let the people leave feeling good about you and the family as a whole. That's what it should be.
And that thing is, Tor, when you get to me and Jimmy's age, when you get the family together, man, there's no guarantee you're going to see everybody again. Like, last Christmas, I saw my wife's uncle, Jack, who I love, for the last time. I didn't know it was the last time. I thought we were going to be able to have Christmases together again. And, I mean, for those people like No Name here who says, Jim is such a good dude. Don't let them get you down. We love Jim. I love Jim, too. But Jim said, I don't care about any of those people. You heard that, right?
I'm a Jim apologist 9 times out of 10. But the Gigantor family had a reunion in mid-June. And I show up, and the whole family's there. And
sure.
What is my stat? I'm not doing that great right now. But I'm gonna be fun. I'm going to have fun with people. I had one change of clothes. I had some cousins that started having that had kids, and there's a little pool out back. They're filling up water balloons. I say, okay, what would be more fun than just watching these kids drop water balloons on the ground? Let's give them a villain. I decided to just join in water balloon fight with the little kids, create a good, just a good time. It was 10 minutes of a good time. And then it picked up whatever the outdoor activities were. These are the little things that you do at family reunions, Jimmy. That lasts an impression, and then maybe your family likes you a little bit more.
Or maybe they don't.
It doesn't matter.
Well, you put in a couple hours of good work, and it lasts the whole year as far as, like, you know, your Q rating goes up with your whole family.
Right.
And as the tour's doing this, as those cryptozoologists are just chasing his loved ones all over the fucking backyard, hitting them with tasers and trying to get pictures to put up on Twitter. You know how that goes. I all want to get booked on Rogan. I wanted to show you something. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
I don't think you've seen this, and it's going to take you a second to realize what's going on, okay? But once you do, I think I'm about to make you as happy as anybody's made you in a long time.
All right. Okay, I'm ready to...
Snarlings aside, I don't know if your roommate up... I don't know what your guys' relationship is. I know that you were really excited to move in together. I don't judge. You know that. I wish you nothing.
It's already falling apart. No way.
Oh, good. This is great.
How could it not?
Good. Well, the studio's real dirty, so I'm going to need you to help me clean it up when you move back down here. I think Tor would walk in front of traffic. All right. I want you to watch this. And then I'm going to watch your reaction until I realize that you have realized what it is you're watching. Okay.
Okay.
Savannah, Georgia, the Ron and Ron radio show is red hot. Now, before the matches began.
Do you know who that guy is on the left?
Oh, I do not know who the guy is on the left.
That is Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, okay. What? Oh, yeah. It looks a little bit different.
Okay.
Live on pay-per-view tonight, we had a very special match earlier in the night. Ron Diaz and Ron Bennington were in the corners.
You know who that is?
Oh, of course I know who that is.
Ron Diaz and Ron Bennington were in the corners. The Sassy Boys, Fast Eddie and Fit Wally. Two men took on Molly McShane. Ron Diaz was in Molly's corner, and Ron.
By the way, that is a huge botched spot by Fez right there. She's hitting the ropes to come hit him with a move, and he lunges for the tag as she's about to hit the move. I hate to point this out, but it's a botched spot.
As plugged into wrestling as he is, I would hope, you know, I'm sure it's harder in the ring. It is. Monday morning quarterbacks have it easy, but if you're that in tune, you watch that much wrestling, sell it a little bit.
Yeah,
be on time.
If you're listening to this, we are watching a clip from WCW Bash at the Beach 94, where Ron Bennington is managing Fez Watley. Okay. And I guess a match they did before the pay-per-view because they had all the wrestlers in on the Ron and Ron show down in Tampa, Florida to help sell tickets.
Oh, that's just fantastic.
See if you can see Ronnie B on the outside.
And Ron Bennington were in the corners. The Sassy Boys, Fast Eddie and Fez Watley. Two men took on Molly McShane. Ron Diaz was in Molly's corner and Ron Bennington in the Sassy Boys corner.
The Sassy Boys.
They were
boys.
Here earlier in the evening, and there was some action earlier in the evening here, Jeff.
Yeah, what's that goofy Jimmy Hart doing in there? He's the referee.
He was the special referee for this special match. No. One woman against two men. Watch out. A big roll up here. And that was it. Molly McShane, as Ron Diaz was in her corner, defeated both the Sassy Boys here.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I think you see Ronnie again on the outside.
Beat the Sassy Boys, Kobe.
Yeah, there he is.
Well, maybe I will next time. Would you be my
tag? Selling it.
Yeah. Lord, she's better.
All right.
I think he hits him with a cane at some point.
Thanks to Ron and Ron, the members of the Ron and Ron radio show, for helping us with promoting Bash of the Beach. Tremendous crowd on hand, like you said.
Is that not fucking fantastic?
You know what?
What a time capsule.
That's a time machine moment. You know, what would you do if you had a time machine? I'd have to be in attendance for that. Even if it's a botched spot, I want to see Ron yelling in the ring. I would kill to be there. That is just a time machine destination for me.
So I don't know if the full video. So for those people that don't care, Ron and Fez, of course, is a show that one of Torn Mind's favorite. It doesn't exist anymore. It was a radio show for many years. Was on here locally in the DC area on WJFK. It was on WNEW up in New York. That was on Sirius XM. It's now the Bennington show. Fez has since passed away. That is a video that was available. So the WWE used to have the WWE Network, as I'm sure you're aware, Tor, where they had you could subscribe to their network and it had their full back catalog. And they had purchased ECW and WCW. So you had the full back catalog of both of those as well. So if you just fired up that pay-per-view, Bash at the Beach 94, that was just a cutaway at the beginning or somewhere in the middle of the pay-per-view. So it's not like it was featured or I had to find that. Somebody taped that on a handheld recorder and put that up on YouTube. I can't find any footage of the entire match anywhere. That's all I could find. But I was listening to an old episode and somebody referenced the fact they were watching WWE Network, which by the way, doesn't even exist anymore as well. And that was available. So I immediately just went to looking for it. And I was like, I can't believe here's Fez wrestling in WCW, as the Sassy Boys.
Yeah. Their events have always, they're always like their boxing matches with WNEW and the Big Ass Bash where Eastside Dave was going against the pro wrestlers. It's always, those are exciting. And then this old footage I look for and I scan for, I don't know. It's an unhealthy connection to make with a show that's almost 10 years old since it has ended. And now I'm in like peak fandom. I don't think it's really not healthy.
No, it stinks.
I can't get away from it. It's just a better piece of content than anything else I'm going to get right
now. You know how much better it is than all the Bro Dog Sports podcasts?
As someone trying to do Bro Dog Sports podcasting, it sucks compared to, and I will end a show. Oh, that interview wasn't bad. And then I will turn on a real show and I'm like, oh,
that's the way it should be.
This is the pros and this is still amateur level where you're
It's the difference between radio and podcasting. And I'm not saying podcasting doesn't have value. It clearly does. I do it for a living, but there's just a difference, man. It's a different type of but you know who's coming on our football show?
Oh, who's jumping in?
You want to guess? I'll give you a hint. His brothers won a Super Bowl.
Okay.
You want me to give you another hint?
I may need another hint.
He was the offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Bengals, brother, what is Super Bowl? What are we not getting?
Want another hint?
I may need another hint. I'm floundering right now.
He was the offensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Bengals, Jaguars, OC.
You want another hint?
Yeah, I might need another hint here.
He was in a very public feud with Robert Griffin III.
Oh, okay. Is Gruden coming on?
Yeah.
Oh.
Jay Gruden will be on both types of sports.
Fired up.
On Monday. I'm very excited. I was texting him a little bit today, and I was like, Coach, want to come on through the studio? Love to have you in the studio. And he's like, no. I'm like, all right. I'll show you, dude.
I think he does good radio, though. Whenever he goes on spots he's a good guest from what I've heard when I've heard him on.
We had Liddell Betts on. Now we're having Jay Gruden on. If you are a fucking Washington Redskins fan from 2005 to like 2012, you got to have a big old raging boner for both types of sports. It's gonna be fucking dope.
Or you're still heartbroken and want to, you know, rageless. And either way, it's going to be fun.
I interviewed Jay when he was coach of the Redskins a couple times when I did Chad Dukes versus the World. And one of the funniest exchanges we had, they actually turned into a promo and ran it on the station, was I invited him to go out to Alamo Drafthouse to watch a movie because they serve flatbread pizza and have beer. And he goes, without missing a beat, he goes, how much do you weigh? You must weigh over 300 pounds. And they ran it as a recycler on the station. And now they pretend I don't exist. And there's 22 people watching this. Yeah, life comes at you fast, Torch. Just keep to that bro dog podcasting. For whatever you do, don't look back, big man. All right.
Keep on marching ahead.
Holy shit. Please march ahead. I'm sure you saw this, but I wanted your thoughts on this as well. I don't know where you're at on... Where are you at on Guardian caps?
Oh, don't like them. I've never liked them, and I know what you're referring to right now already.
I hate them so much, and I can't tell you how stupid. I mean, football players. The one thing about football players, Tor, I'm not saying basketball players don't look cool, or baseball players, or soccer, or whomever you like, but football players by far look the coolest because they got the big shoulder pads and the fucking cool face mask, and they've got a shield working and arm sleeve, like
you can't see them. It's modern. Their faces are covered when they're on the field. It's modern day gladiator. That is what it looks like.
The best way to put it. And Guardian caps, for those of you that aren't football fans, is they put these big Stay Puft Marshmallow Dumbo fucking pillowcases on top of these guys' helmets under the guise of, I guess, protecting them from concussions. And it went from every once in a while you saw somebody wearing one, you're like, well, that guy looks stupid.
It'd be like a Bosa brother or some star tight end. It wouldn't be everybody. It would just be, you know, a couple of guys that may have gotten a little banged up last year.
So they're mandatory in training camp now, right? Like, because everybody is wearing them. And training camp's one thing, but they're going to be available to wear during the regular season. And I just can't even explain to you how trepidatious I am about it because it makes these guys look stupid. Anytime you get a big blow pop looking head on anybody, it just makes them, they just don't look as cool.
Right.
And I think the way that these guys look, like you said, like modern day gladiators, is a part of why, you know, we are so enamored with them. Let me go ahead and pull this up so you can, I don't know if you saw this story the same way I did, but I always have to preface this because if it ever gets back to him, I certainly want to say Mike Florio has always been good to me my entire career and always came on my shows and always did a good job. And we had good chemistry when he came on the show, but I am convinced this man hates football now. And I'm convinced he wishes he was doing something else. And I can relate. I was there for a long time doing sports talk radio. If a job pays well, it's irresponsible of you to leave it. But he's writing novels now. And I think he wants to get away from it. That's my own opinion. He wrote an article on Pro Football Talk titled Guardian Caps Are Looking Game Ready. And I guess he's talking about the fact that the Guardian Caps are now coming with an outer wrap, so that they aren't just these big puffy pillow looking things, but they're also going to be used during the game where there is a concern about the aesthetics of televised football is what he's talking about here. I really do believe that he wants people to use guardian caps. And I'm going to assume that in my heart of hearts, he wants them to be safer.
Yeah.
But it just goes along with too many other things that I've seen from him that he wants bad things for football at times. And watching guys in guardian caps, I'll give it to you. Maybe it's safer and maybe it's better for the long run. It is not good for the televised product. It is going to turn people off and it's going to make the game less pleasurable to watch. And I just can't believe that this is going to be now everything. We can only make these guys so safe, Gigantor. One of the reasons why we love this sport is because of the barbaric nature, the risk of injury, the physicality. And harkens back to our lizard brains. And I don't think we who are about to die salute you right before they're about to go fight lions. I don't think they put pillowcases on their heads.
It's another step towards 7-on-7. It's another step towards flag football, both of which serve their own purpose, but I'm against at the professional level. The guardian caps, they remind me of like cricket helmets and pads where they're there and they're useful and you can definitely notice them. But if you're watching baseball, the inverse of cricket, like the catcher's pads are more molded to their body. They don't look extended and the helmets aren't wide and with a big brace on the front. It's worse optics. It makes it look like a softer sport. And I come from the train of thought or from the school of thought where if you continue to make the helmets more cushioned, then what stops players from leading with them more? If you're really wearing a bucket, you're not really going to lead with your head because you're going to get your bell rung and then you might tackle with some form. But with that crown on the helmet, when we start adding more and more padding, why not lead with it? It's going to hurt you less and maybe it hurts the other guy also. Yeah. So there's still head hunting in football. There still will be. And I worry about it being now like not as regulated because they're all wearing these goofy marshmallows on their head.
Well, his article is, well, if it keeps players healthy, why not use them? If it's good for you, why not use them? Well, the thing that would keep them the healthiest is not playing football. It's to figure out some other way to earn a living. Take your talents to South Beach, whatever the fuck that it would be. The problem that I have here, what I always went back to, because about 5 or 6 years ago, and I think LeVar was still there, when the concussion thing first broke out, and I was doing afternoons with LeVar, we had callers, we had people, they said, take the face masks off. I think Joe Paterno was one of the people that said it.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons you're not getting concussions because the helmets aren't good. You're getting concussions because these guys are not taught tackling the right way, and they also feel invincible wearing the helmets.
That's exactly right.
Look at Aussie rules football. Look at rugby. They don't got shit. They got some guys got scrum caps, and that's about it, and they're hitting and tackling and getting running starts. I realize a safety at 240 pounds getting 11-yard head start and socking somebody in the middle of a hole, that's different. That doesn't happen in rugby. But the continuing to just add more and more equipment, there is only so safe you can make this sport. And they've been lucky so far, Tor. Every little tweak they've done, and you see them walking back the kickoff bullshit this year. They realize we've gone too far. And people are turned off by us trying to make these kickoffs safe because they just can't be. We have to find out something else. You're gonna reach a point where you're the NFL where you do something that tries to make the sport too safe, and it makes it so it is not as appealing to people to watch on television. And as improbable as it seems right now, people will find other shit to do. The Hollywood is learning that right now. Like, oh my God, if we don't change what we're doing, people are gonna find some YouTube channels to watch. Find some podcasts, find some Netflix to take care of, and they're not going to pay money to come out and see our films anymore.
One of the keynote, if not the most impactful, most important, most recognizable pieces of sports equipment is the American football helmet.
100%.
It is the most distinguishable. You see it, you know football. I'm giving myself goosebumps just thinking about the helmet. Just, it invokes an energy that you put this on, you go to work. And you are watching every helmet is more distinguishable than any jersey that's ever thrown, any jersey redos. No, the fans' first thought when they think of a team is that logo on the side of that helmet. That helmet's either chipped up and destroyed, or it's shiny on game day. It's not, hey, look at this swim cap that we put over the mattress pad around the helmet. That is an aesthetic choice at the baseline level that could it won't cripple football, but it will damage it tremendously. From a casual fan standpoint.
What's the most valuable piece of merch? It's a signed football helmet on every set of every fucking football television or every sports television show. It's the only sport. Here's the two helmets. I mean, it's just so you're right. It's synonymous with the sport. Fuck with that at your own peril. It just doesn't surprise me, unfortunately, that Florio is a big fan of it. Friday night tour. I know you won't be watching, but I assume some of us will. If you are a fan of Big O in Dukes, we do a show for you called Who's That Skinny About? It's myself, Drab T-Shirts, and Dick Smokin. Our special guest this week will be the shirtless Puerto Rican. We are going to go through both sides of the vinyl exclusive episode, Cuckin' Around, hosted by the Latin Otter and the Soy Boy. I've got the audio from both. This is the most embarrassing show Drab T-Shirt has ever done. He's told me that. We're going to listen to it and figure out why. That is Friday night at 8 o'clock. No, Friday night at 9 o'clock, because Drab's got to put all three children to bed. Right here on this YouTube channel, youtube.com/ChadDukesShow. So if you care to be interested in that, join us Friday at 9.
So that's your default graphic thumbnail for shoot. The sit down with the bourbon in the hand, looking on.
This one right here?
Yeah, looking on.
I just think it's a funny picture of me. I used it last week for the football show. You didn't like that either. Well, I was just sitting behind you, just sipping my mint julep.
It just kills me every head. It's just...
Well, first of all, I look like a midget. I don't know if you notice how tiny I look in this picture. I kind of look like a chicken McNugget. So I just think it's funny. Like, I think the way where my hand is funny. I have a snifter of brandy, if the people that don't know. So yeah, that's kind of been my go-to recently. I think my hair looks weird. I just think it's a funny picture.
It's become one of my favorite shoot photos.
Favorite and least favorite. Yeah, I'm excited. All right. Oh, God, people are being disgusting. All right, let's move along. So my buddy Gigantor is a lot of things, but a man that can stomach being scared by movies, I wouldn't put that amongst your – like if I was filling out your resume, Tor, I'd be like, he can reach stuff on the top shelf.
Yep.
If he flies on a plane, he can stare straight ahead of himself like a moron for hours on end.
Love it.
Yeah, patchy facial hair. What else? Uh-huh. Sweatshorts, he can wear them for a decade. Like, you got a lot of strong points.
Can close anything with my hips. Anything. Door, fridge, car door, probably garage, anything I can close my hips.
If you've got something crawling around in your basement, he will crush it with his hands or bare feet. Yeah, I mean, you got a lot. I would hire you for any of these tasks. But if I need you to sit through, you know, Silent Hill, you're not the guy I'm going to. What possessed you to go see Long Legs in a time of the year when Twisters is out and Deadpool's coming out? Like, what made you want to go see that film?
The discourse around the movie was intriguing for me, because I knew it was scary movie, and I see plenty of scary movie content that just passes me by. That's, oh, this is not my cup of tea. It's never been my cup of tea. I'm not a scary movie guy. But this movie Long Legs, not only was it being reviewed as scary, but also a good movie, and a movie that could shake you up a little bit afterwards, or leave you feeling a different way. That's not just I got jump scared 50 times and now my adrenaline and heart is through my chest, but just a good story, good movie that it just happens to be terrifying.
Okay.
So I thought it would be good to I guess get involved with the zeitgeist when it comes to the movie, and I wanted to see it, which was very out of character for me, but
certainly in the theater. I don't recall ever you going to see. You saw Black Phone, and you were traumatized by Black Phone for months, and I don't think Black Phone is a third is
no. I
terrifying
still
look, as Long Legs.
I'll still check every wall in a restaurant or any a bar. Let me see if there's a Black Phone on the wall. Let me just check, and then
you could get Black Phone. Someone could Black Phone the shit out of you.
Don't want to get Black Phoned by anybody. That's a bad place to be. And the movie just, I felt like I needed to see this movie for some reason, and it's. I knew that you had seen it. I wanted to pick your brain about it. And then you said I couldn't handle it.
You can't.
You're right.
I would still swear to that, even though you've seen it.
You're correct.
You sent me a picture of the credits. I assumed just to prove to me that you all sat all the way through the movie.
It was, you know what? Here's something I have. My biggest gripe with the movie theater experience. If we're watching a scary movie, credits are rolling, turn those lights on. Turn the bitches on right now, because I am still scared. And now I got people moving around. I don't know if Long Legs is behind me. I don't know.
He could have been right there, Long Legs.
He could have been. And you mock, but you don't know what's going on in these theaters.
Could have rolled a doll in there that has the essence of Satan inside of it.
Just started seeing dolls. I'm sitting in the chair. I'm looking at, is this a doll movie now? Is this what we're doing? I'm just,
It doesn't purport itself to be a doll movie, but it ends up being a doll movie.
Yeah. And then I was lucky to have company because if I would not have, I don't think I could have seen it alone.
Did you cut a big hole in the bottom of the popcorn bucket? I assume you brought the big pair of scissors. I certainly did when I went to see it. I can't believe you made it all the way through. Yeah, if you saw that movie alone, I don't think we'd be doing this show right now.
No. If I saw the movie alone and couldn't talk to somebody after seeing the movie to calm me down, then it would have really been a shaky trek back home. It would not fun.
I don't want you to spoil anything for people, but the one scene I wanted to ask what you thought about was in the interrogation room. Nick Cage's performance and then the way that scene ends. Did you make it through that, or are you hiding under the fucking seat the row in front of you?
I brought a sweatshirt with me, not because I thought I was going to be chilly, but because if I needed to, I could pull the hood down over my eyes, and I could also pull the collar up over my nose, so I would just have a millimeter to look at the screen.
Sure.
After, I'd say, the second action that Nicolas Cage pulls in that interrogation room.
Yeah.
I'm pulling. I said, okay, this is getting a little intense for the kid in the movie theater right now.
And you're the kid, right? I forgot about that. Yeah, you're the kid. And also, it goes on for quite some time. Like, that's the one part about that scene.
And I'm like, okay, all right. They hammered that point home pretty quickly.
Literally.
Why are you still hammered it? You're through the drywall. Now you're on the masonry. Get me out of this room.
Now you're destroying the theater. You're destroying the piping behind the masonry right now. Yeah, I get it.
That scene that was a rough one.
Did you realize at the very beginning, like the first 3 minutes, I think might be the scariest part of the whole fucking movie, because if you think about it, nothing scary really should be happening. Like, nobody's head explodes, nobody attacks anyone. It's just Nick Cage. Did you know that was Nick Cage?
I did know. I once I saw the chin. I mean, he's got a distinct chin, and his teeth are kind of distinct.
A little Hillary Clinton-ish to you?
I was a little bit,
a little touch.
I was the setting that freaked me out the most, aside from the workshop. Was definitely that big barn house where they're looking up for the exit, and I'm like, this can't be. I'm almost yelling, don't go up the stairs. I'm almost one of those people in the theater, and there were these three. There's like these three dudes next to us. They were probably like 18 years old, probably maybe 17 to 19.
You should have left as soon as you saw them.
They were kind of like the first 15 minutes. They weren't really mocking it out, but they were kind of giggly. And then once it started kicking into gear, there was no more giggling. There was no more fun time from the bro dogs next to us. It was, okay, we are all riding this thing out right now.
Was it when the FBI agent knocks on the door? Remember that part at the beginning? Because that movie lets you know it means business right from the jump. Where it's like, this is not a fun, you're not watching Scream or I Know What You Did Last Summer here watching this thing.
The FBI agent knocking on the door, that I actually thought that was a good transition to what the movie was going to entail, what the protagonist's role was going to be.
Yeah, they're not fucking around.
They are not fucking around in this movie. I thought that the Home Alone deciphering was shaking me to my core pretty good, because when you're outside, you're looking in the house, and then there's some asshole just...
There's so many moments in this movie where I'm screaming at her, call the SWAT team, like call anyone. Call the bomb disarming brigade. Call the Hurt Locker.
We can't get some helis up in the air scouting for anybody right now.
Hey, Long Legs is J&O and the woods across from my house. Can we fucking do something about that? I can see him J&O. So does this mean I owe you $100, right?
I think so. I it's all going to a collection plate because I gotta get closer with God. Any of this, some of the themes from this movie definitely. I mean, they shook me. Leaving the theater, I had a wave of uncomfortability on me, like a blank. The whole walking back to the train station. Okay, now I'm in a creepy train station. It's Long Legs coming after me now. Get on the train. That was nice. That was a safe checkpoint. That's a good win for us. On the train, lights start flickering every now and then. Scared, almost peeing my pants on the train. Not happy. And then I got a 15-minute walk in the dark back to my spot. And then that's just head down. Let's get home.
You're one of those taking the train guys now, huh? I'm going to have to hear all the New York jargon now every time we talk to Gigantor. God fucking damn it. I can't wait to hear about the LIE delays. The LIE let me down today. I had to go stand online because we mispronounce everything in this part of the country.
I don't know what these people are doing. All my train experiences have been pretty pleasant.
They can't handle it. None of those people up there can handle being up there. That's what
I can't handle that movie. This movie actually makes me think worse of Matt Dotson. Because some of the stuff that he likes, I think even if it's an act or not, themes are covered in this film. Not digging it, Tube. Clean up the act a bit.
I don't think it's his fault the movie did what it did. And also, I've seen more disturbing movies just doing the Fortress Film Society. That was my only problem is that I felt like people that watched it then watched Long Legs and their minds were blown because they're not used to this type of topicality such as yourself. What you can thank the Lord above is the fact that you went to see Long Legs and not Twisters. Whew. I won't get into that here because I want people to go enjoy that movie if they want to enjoy it. But I hope you like the name Kate being said over and over and over. More Kates and Twisters than Murphs in Interstellar.
That can't be possible.
And more Kates and Twisters than more Malls in Inception.
Inception,
yeah. So
that's hard to do.
Yeah, if you want to hear the name Kate, Twisters is for you. All right, so name. I got $100 for you, on top of whatever. All right,
I appreciate that.
God damn it, Sweater Clint makes a good point though. If I've got you double thinking reality, it's worth $100.
Yeah.
If you're second guessing lighting outages.
It was scary, and I'm just sitting. I don't want to talk to people. I didn't want to interact. I was grateful for any streetlight that when I was walking home. I'm just like, all right, let's hug these. Happy to be here and not in that movie, in that setting. I would have broken down.
I'm very glad to hear that. I mean, if you would have pissed yourself, it would have been really an inappropriate thing for this show. Would not have provided us lots of content. Tor will be back on Monday. We'll be doing both types of sports. If you like football, you can subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. And if you like this show, if you're watching this for free, there's an episode every day that goes up for you. ChadDukeShow.com. Don't cost that much. And it's pretty good. It's pretty funny. And my God, that we have a soap opera this week, which you heard the culmination of it here on this show. But the buildup, I assure you, was just as scintillating. What do you got going on this weekend, Gigantor?
I have to go. I've got a couple wedding activities this weekend. I think I'm going to be on a ferry at some point, which I'm kind of excited about. I like drinking
got
on
jokes.
The boat. So,
got well. Jokes. 2014 would have had some jokes. You were saying? Marriage and I'm going to be on it. Nah, we'll just let it go. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Maybe we'll get a good stinking drunk on. Hopefully that'd be a good goal for the weekend.
Remember what Eastside Dave did at E-Rock's wedding is he lit a centerpiece on fire and just pushed it under a table and didn't tell anybody. And if E-Rock didn't see it, it was going to burn down the wedding hall.
I don't think I'll be going up to the DJ either.
Hold on, make an announcement. Fuck around and drink some beers. Oh man, that'd be great. All right, well, very good. If you are listening to this for free on iTunes or Spotify, feel free to sashay on over to youtube.com/ChadDukeShow. You can watch the taping live and in person. We would love to have you. Gigantor, thank you, brother. Always good to see you. And good luck with Hack City. So check out that pod. Is that what it's called?
Yep, that is.
Hell, fuck yeah. I wasn't fucking around. I wanted to get it right. Hack City.
I'll be diving into a chicken cutlet sandwich moments after the show. I'm
God
very excited.
Hey, this meatball hero. I couldn't find it.
That is one thing about your neck of the woods. Dining is fine. All right, I'll probably be ordering from fucking Papa John's like the rest of us Northern Virginia fucking heathens do.
Hey, that's a win, though. Papa John's a win.
We're going to call it a draw. We're going to call it 0-0 fucking tie goes to the runner. As the good Lord is willing and the creeks don't rise, we'll see you on Monday for a brand new episode of the Chad Duke Show. Until that time, go up back.
You know what I always say? Time to the offensive you. Ta-da to fucking you.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play. Like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.